Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray, and we'll be talking about conscious, compassionate awareness in today's show. We'll also be responding to your email questions and taking your calls. So keep it tuned here to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio.
Have a question or comment? To speak to our show hosts or guests during the live show, call in toll-free in North America, 877-514-7300.
And from elsewhere in the world, call 001-858-277-1444.
Welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
How are you?
Good.
Good.
You?
I'm good.
Excellent.
I'm good.
It's an exciting time, isn't it?
It's an exciting time. Yes, yes. As you know, I have a new baby who's been home for a week now.
Mm-hmm.
And big sense of responsibility comes with that.
Yes. Do you remember sleep?
Sleep. Yeah, I think before several months ago, I remember about sleep.
Yeah, it's huge, isn't it?
It's big. And what I noticed about that in particular is how much conditioning I have around sleep.
Uh-huh.
Independent of what I'm experiencing, you know, what I'm actually feeling.
Yes.
You know, the voices are just, oh, you're so tired. You should be exhausted. You can't function now.
Huh. Yeah.
Even when I'm functioning.
Yeah, yeah. I kid people about that. You know, I'll be doing a talk, and I'll ask people, how many of you wake up every morning and look to see how many hours of sleep you had?
Yeah.
You know, as if that's, as we make it mean a lot.
Yes.
Uh-huh. This is how I feel. This is how I'm going to feel. This is what my day is going to be like based on that amount of sleep.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Funny critters.
Fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
And what's new with you?
Well, we had some excitement last night that kept us from getting all of the sleep that we might have gotten on another occasion.
Wow.
There was quite a big thunder and lightning storm up here.
Wow.
And, you know, it's not a good time of year to have those in California.
Oh, yes.
So there's nothing wrong with you retreat going on, and as people were coming out of group, they realized that the smell of smoke was a little dense. A little too much smell of smoke in the air.
Wow.
And they started looking around the property, and just inside the gate, down in a ravine, in fact, lightning had hit and a fire had started.
Wow.
And so we had the fire trucks out in there, putting out the fire into the middle of the night. So we consider ourselves extremely fortunate today.
Wow!
Because we could be having a conversation about how we lost the monastery last night.
Wow!
And we had a good deal of rain.
Yeah.
Right before it happened, but nothing, not nearly enough. And I think it probably was enough to just slow it down a little.
Wow.
To actually give the fire trucks time to get there. It was probably, less than an eighth of a mile from my house.
Yeah.
So, I think if it had been a week earlier, or if we hadn't had quite so much rain along with the thunder and lightning, we might have been telling a different story today. So we consider ourselves extremely blessed today.
Wow. I'm very glad for you.
Mm-hmm.
And for me.
Yeah, for all of us.
Yes.
For all of us who enjoy that place.
Yes. Yes.
So it's a big time.
It's a big time. It's a big time. Sherry, I was just looking at the calendar here.
Uh-huh.
And I see that we have a big bridge walk coming up.
We sure do.
Yes.
We sure do. And we're very excited about it because it's on a Saturday this year.
Yes.
And usually we have it on a Sunday. after some other big something.
Yes.
And so this is the thing that we're doing on that weekend, and we have a lot of fun things planned, as we always do, and hope that people will join us if they can, and if not, then sponsor somebody. If they need somebody to sponsor, we can certainly give them. They can sponsor me, if nobody else. That's coming up, and that's going to be fun.
Yes, that's Saturday, October 22nd, and it's the fourth annual Golden Gate Bridge Walk to support the African Vulnerable Children Project. And as you said, there'll be a lot of fun activities and an opportunity to walk across the Golden Gate Bridge. Mm-hmm. And
which is something I personally never tire of.
Yes, it's an incredible view from up there.
It's just stunning.
Stunning.
So I had a couple of things, too. I'm actually going to be on another radio show.
Great.
On October 17th. It's going to be, looks like it's going to be 11 a.m.
Yes.
And I think that this is I don't know what it is. Anyway, I suppose people can go on to our website and find out what this radio show is. It's with Michael Neal, who I think is actually going to be sponsoring our radio show. Is that true?
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm eager to meet him and have a conversation with him.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
So the details will be at sherryhuber.com. Is that correct?
Yeah. And then the other thing that I think is fun, it's another sponsoring opportunity, and that is that we are doing a sit-a-thon the last of October.
Yeah.
And which people keep pointing out is a very odd thing, or I can't tell if they think it's an odd thing or they think it's an odd name.
Uh-huh.
But people kind of give me this look like, what?
Uh-huh.
And which I think is interesting. You know, people will sponsor people to do all sorts of things, you know, ride bikes and walk and run. And
yes.
But to meditate, they seem to think it's odd. And I think it's great fun. As you know, we like to sit for extended periods of time in meditation, and we love to do it with a large group of people.
Yes.
And so this way we get sponsors for it, and then this goes to support the work that we do. So my first hope, of course, is that people will come and sit with us.
Yes.
And then the second one, of course, if they can't do that, is that they sponsor the team.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
Yeah. Somebody was talking about it as if it were a competition. I said, no, I don't think these things are a competition. It's like the bridge walk isn't a competition. You know, you just sponsor people who are making an effort that for whatever reason you can't make right then. So, you know, I can't go, but Michael, I'll support you in going.
Yes.
And
fabulous.
Good with meditation.
Yes, and that's the following Saturday, October 29th, between 6:30 a.m. and 6:30 p.m.
Yeah, and it's at Center for Spiritual Enlightenment. We're partnering with them.
Yes.
And then we'll partner with more people next year. So I think it's there's a little break in between, like 10 to 12, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And Ellen O'Brien and I, she is the I don't know what, the minister, I guess, at that congregation, and I will be doing a little conversation about the state of the world and how to participate and how to make a difference. And
oh, wonderful.
Thing. Yeah.
Wonderful. Not to be missed.
Not to be missed.
And that'll be at the Center for Spiritual Enlightenment in San Jose.
Yeah.
Wonderful. What else is on this exciting calendar? Probably lots of great stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure there is. I can't think of a single thing.
Yeah.
That's as far as I can go. I can get through October. That's as far ahead as... Oh, well, if people want to do something a little different that involves beaches and snorkeling and things like that, they can come to do a Zen and yoga retreat at Maya Tulum in Mexico with us. So they can check that out on the website, too.
Yes.
So we have a wide range of opportunities for participation.
Yes, no end.
No end of things that a person can do to support their spiritual practice.
And that retreat in Maya Tulum, Mexico, is November 12th to 19th. And all the information is available on Sherry's website, which is sherryhuber.com, or on the livingcompassion.org website. Lots of information. And Sherry, I'm always inspired when you talk about participation and talk about it in the sense of it being the heart of this work.
Yeah, it really is. You know, sometimes I think especially maybe around in the 60s when Eastern philosophy started getting kind of mainstream or at least heading toward that in this country, we had notions like instant karma and karmic kickback and navel gazing. And that was sort of the, you know, those were the images that came with Eastern religion. And so what you're doing with meditation is navel gazing. You know, you just sit around somewhere and contemplate your own navel. And it, to me, that has a connotation of being slightly useless.
Yeah.
I think that that's the image that people were attempting to portray.
Yes.
And that's not at all my experience of awareness practice. For me, what the Buddha taught is that we pursue a process of waking up and ending suffering. And what we are doing in that process is going beyond our own egocentric karmic conditioning, our own focus on ourselves, so that we can participate in the larger we. So we go past this little puny I, who's the center of the universe, and begin participating with us.
Yeah.
And the us, of course, is not just us humans. It's us, everything in this universe, and a growing sense of, as you started out with this new child, talking about the increased responsibility. And that's what happens to us as we begin to wake up. It's not, we go from, well, what about me? You know, what's going to happen to me? And what am I going to get? What's in this for me? And we start thinking in terms of how we can participate, what we can offer, what we can do. And, you know, it's not anything we rush into. It's not something that we get to out of guilt. It's something that just naturally happens to us as our own lives are transformed. And in the beginning, it's often a bit of a stretch because we're so used to listening to ego and its demands of me, 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 me.
Yeah.
But as we begin to stretch in that way, as we begin to reach out and maybe even begin to think in terms of doing more than what looks like our share, we find that what we feel is not deprived or overwhelmed or burdened, but grateful. And
yeah.
And that giving actually meets a need that attempting to get is never going to meet.
Yeah.
So it's very, very much a part of awareness practice to participate.
Yes. And for me, especially, so liberating to get beyond me, my, which is a very small suffering place.
It is a small suffering place, and it's boring.
Yeah.
You know, when we're in that place of my the whole focus is of my life is on me. How do I feel, and what's happening to me, and what do you think of me, and what should I do, and fears and worries and you know, it can be all-consuming, and that sort of self-absorption is a process of suffering.
Yeah.
So it's necessary that we break out of that, and it's just wonderful to me. It's wonderful to break out of that with a bunch of other people who are also breaking out of it, who are also fun to be with and supportive and caring, and so that's. I mean, that's what Sangha is. And, you know, with the bridge walk, it's pretty much us. You know, it's people who are involved in one way or the other with the Zen Center. Then we collaborate with the Center for Spiritual Enlightenment. And then it grows in that way. You know, Sangha's coming together to practice and work together. And then we just keep reaching out to more and more people and more groups until, you know, we hit that critical mass, that 100th monkey notion, where there's just nothing and no one left out. Everything is brought into the circle of compassion.
Yeah.
Just what we're going for.
Yeah. Fabulous. If you'd like to join our conversation today and talk about participation or anything else, please give us a call. You can reach us toll-free at 877-514-7300. Again, that's 877-514-7300. Phone lines are open here. And if you're calling from abroad, you can reach us at 001-858-277-1444. You are listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. We're going to break now, and we'll be back with you in just a couple of minutes. Coming up next on Open Air, we'll be continuing our conversation on conscious compassionate awareness, responding to your email questions, and taking your calls. So keep it tuned here to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Welcome back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Sherry, I have an email question here.
All right.
Hi, Sherry and Michael. I am so grateful for this program. I want to share an insight I had over the weekend. I hosted a birthday party for myself and asked the guests to contribute to living compassion rather than give me a gift. It was a big stretch for me. Conditioning tells me I am not a party giver or a very social person. On top of that, to be so bold as to speak about living compassion to my friends is way too risky and may cost me friendships. Well, I did it anyway, and it really was a great success by all accounts except one. After the last guest had left, self-hate started in at me. Thanks to this practice, I noticed that I was starting to feel bad and sat to write down my thoughts. You would not believe the stream of self-hating messages that were battering me. I wish I could say that my awareness of the messages stopped the assault, but it did not. A sensation in my body I label anxiety kept building and interfered with my sleep and work the following day. I was anything but present, and the desire to numb myself with a pill, food, or TV was intense. This was so painful, and all because I gave a party. I can see why I choose to not take chances, lay low, and keep my mouth shut. I see this pattern happening over and over in my life when I step out of a very narrow, prescribed, conditioned way of being. I meditated, I exercised, I listened to Open Air, which all helped. But I find myself still feeling very vulnerable and scared. I would appreciate any feedback. Gasho from one of our listeners.
Wow. It's just, it's so... Well, let's see. I want to say it's so sad, and it is so sad, and also just, you know, people will say, you know, Sherry, you're a little hard on ego, or you're, you know, you make it sound like these voices of conditioning are enemy. I think, well, yeah. You know, here's somebody who did a really good thing.
Yeah.
I had a party and let other people benefit from that.
Yes.
And the reaction to that is hateful abuse. I mean,
yes.
You know, what am I supposed to be sympathetic toward these voices that are beating this person up? I'm sorry, I can't get there. I cannot get to a place of sympathy for abusers. I can't. Not while the abuse is going on.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
People will say that to me, well, you know, with all this compassion and acceptance, now what if you're going down the street and you see somebody abusing a child? Well, You know, the answer to that is you do whatever you can to stop them. You don't have to hate them, nor do you want to say, oh, well, you know, they were probably abused themselves, so, you know, we should just, whatever. It just needs to stop. It just needs to be stopped. So in the case of this person, here is my best encouragement. There must be a lot of parties. There must be a lot of everything that sets this conditioning off.
Yeah.
It's not unlike a process of desensitizing.
Yes.
Because trying to walk the straight and narrow in order to avoid this doesn't work.
Yeah.
You know, if it did, then we would say, okay, live a little tiny walled-off life. And then it'll be all right, because living a little tiny walled-off life is suffering.
Yeah.
So I suffer if I don't do what I want, and I suffer if I do what I want. So the only answer is to stop suffering. And, of course, what we're going for is getting to the point where those voices are going on, and it just means nothing to us. So I was talking to a friend recently who was engaged in a business conversation.
Yes.
And the person she was talking to started yelling at her. So now she's the customer at this business, and the business owner started yelling at her because the job that she was giving them was too complex and too hard. You know, right there, that's kind of humorous. Now, what business are you in exactly? I mean, aren't you in the business of doing this thing for your customers?
Yeah.
So, you know, we talked about what it's like to be yelled at like that.
Yeah.
You know how upsetting it is for an awful lot of people when somebody just starts yelling at them, when they feel like they're the innocent party.
Yeah.
You know, I really don't deserve this. You shouldn't be. You know, that's not okay. You know, you're the business person. I'm your customer. You can't yell at me. And then we talked about the possibility of getting to the place, because this friend and I share a little 3-year-old child who's in our lives.
Yeah.
And so we could both refer to being with this little 3-year-old. And
yeah.
And you know, you just can't get upset with 3-year-olds. You know, you just have to play. You know, it just has to be a joke.
Yeah.
Because if, can you imagine taking what a 3-year-old says and does personally? And so I was saying, you know, you might just try that with this business person. You know, this because they're going to continue to work together. So, you know, just approach it as you would the 3-year-old. You know, just say, now wait a minute, that's not the kind of conversation we have. Okay? Now that's not okay to talk like that. Now, if you're going to talk like that with me, then what you'll need to do is we'll need to hang up, and then we'll talk later when you can talk nicely.
Yes.
And, of course, I mean, I think it would be just hysterical to try that with somebody and just see what the reaction is. But that's the kind of reaction, kind of place that we can get to with those voices inside our heads, those voices of self-hatred.
Yeah.
You know, if we believe them, if we take it on, if we take it personally, we have no choice but to be miserable. And it's not like we're going to become somebody or live some kind of life that makes them happy. So we just have to get to the place where we either can just see them for what they are and they are irrelevant, or it's funny. You know, they're entertaining to us. You know, the kind of, you would not believe what a voice in my head just said to me. You know, but we've got to move into a different relationship with them. And
yeah.
One of the best ways to do that is just make a list of everything that will make those voices of conditioning crazy, and then start through the list with the purpose of setting them off.
Wow. Not avoiding them, but with the purpose of putting them off.
Yeah. What are they going to say when this happens?
Yes.
You know, what's the reaction going to be when this happens? And, you know, that whole feeling inside the body, of course, is just the person believing that these voices have some validity, and we got to get past that. We've got to get to the point of realizing that there's no need to react to these voices. And, you know, it's exactly the same process that an awful lot of people have to do with their parents. You know, they're little kids, and their parents are such a big deal to them, and everything the parent says or does is just so charged and so loaded, and they agonize over it, and then they get to the point they're really angry and resentful, and then you just finally get to the place of saying, I'm not a little kid. You're not a god or a goddess. You're just a regular person. I don't need to indulge this drama any longer.
Yes.
And then we can actually enjoy them.
Yeah.
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 So that's my encouragement. You know, plan a party for every weekend. You know, go just whatever. Each person knows what the list is for him or her.
Yeah.
Of things that you're just not allowed to do. You cannot do these things and then just do them all.
Wow. Wow. Sounds like just working right through your karma.
Oh, yeah. And that's exactly it. That's perfect phrasing. Working right through your karma. And when we do these things and we do not respond to the karmic reactions, it burns the karma away.
Mm. Burning the karma away. Sounds great. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Phone lines are open here, and we'd love to talk with you today.
I was going to say, isn't this a call-in show?
It's a call-in show.
Yeah. There must be other callers besides us.
Yes. So if you're hearing, us talking right now, pick up your phone and give us a call toll-free at 877-514-7300.
Tell us what's going on.
Tell us what's going on. Because as you were talking about at the beginning, it's about participation.
Yeah. Yeah. And the voices of conditioning say, oh, you can't call in. You don't. In fact, I was at a workshop in Seattle this weekend, and one of the participants was talking about calling in on the radio show. And it's the same process as the person who just emailed, called in to the show, had this great conversation, looked at all this stuff, it was great, hung up the phone, and the voices started in. And it was so upsetting to her that she didn't even tell her husband that she had called in, because
wow,
she was afraid that he would listen to the archives,
uh-huh,
and hear what she said, and it would be so horrible that he would be so embarrassed for her. It would just be hideous. And then later on, somebody who, I think it was a relative or something, had heard the show and called and said, that was so great what you said about that. That was so helpful, da 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 da.
Wow.
And, oh, I know what it was. It wasn't somebody heard it. It was, we're doing the little CD of the radio shows.
Yes.
The excerpts from the radio show.
Yes.
And it was on that.
Yes.
And she heard it.
Yes.
And said, wow, well, that was really good.
That's really good. That wasn't stupid.
Yeah, right. I didn't make a fool of myself. It wasn't all of those things that those voices said. But those voices kick in, and, you know, I can't go there. I can't do that. I can't call in there. I can't. And sure we can.
Yes, yes. As you were talking, I was just thinking about the reasons that conditioning would tell me why I couldn't call in. You know, my problem's not big enough. I haven't been doing the practice long enough. I don't want to take up Sherry's time.
Yeah, I'm going to sound stupid.
All of that.
And none of it's true. I just wish I could be utterly convincing that whatever that voice says don't do is the thing we must do. Now, we have to be careful, because that voice will also come up with things like, okay, well, then, if you should just take off all your clothes and walk down Main Street.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That, you know, we want to use discernment when we listen to this. And, of course, the thing the voice wants us to do is the thing that's going to result in embarrassment or humiliation or regret or guilt or sadness or something like that.
Yeah.
So the things I'm talking about, you know, you can't call in the radio show. You can't have a party and tell your friends about living compassion. You can't volunteer to do this thing. You can't. Those are the kinds of things that when we say yes, I can, leave the voices of conditioning in a really miserable position of trying to convince you that you are a bad person for having done a good thing.
Yes, yes. Sherry, our exhortations have been successful. I'd like to welcome Isha from Cobb, California. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi, Michael. Hi, Sherry.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm shaking.
Aha! Uh-huh. You are going up against conditioning.
Yes, it says I don't have anything to say, so that's why I haven't called in for several weeks.
Aha! Uh-huh. Yeah, like nothing in your life has happened in the last several weeks. There have been no spiritual issues, nothing challenging, no problems, no successes, no triumphs, nothing has been going on for the last several weeks.
Right, I don't have anything to say.
Mm-hmm.
But I did write down some things so I wouldn't just be here with nothing to say.
Because it is true, isn't it, that conditioning can sort of put us in that stupid dust position. So there, you dial the phone, we all say hello, and then what's going on? And you look, and there's just conditioned mind there, and it's absolutely blank. Yeah?
Yeah, good thing I have a pen and paper.
That's right. Although, you know, with us, we would just call that a great moment in meditation. Right? Everybody's trying to get their mind to be clear and blank. Well, if that happens, that's a good thing.
On the radio?
Sure. Why? Anywhere. Anytime it happens, it's restful. Then you could just report, wow, I had a really restful moment there. There wasn't a single thing in my mind. We would all say, wow, that's wonderful.
I think what's happening in my mind is more like sabotage of covering things up with sheets.
Yes. You know? Yeah, yeah. No, there's nothing there. Don't look under that. Nope, nothing there. Nothing going on. So what did you write down?
I wrote down the one thing I wanted to tell you that I'm really glad that your home is okay.
Yes, me too, yeah. Especially since I probably would have been sleeping in it when the fire got there, which
Ooh.
Is, you know, not a moment any of us probably wants to face.
Yeah. And I wrote down that going up and talking to people is a big area of struggle for me.
Talking to people, just period?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Like when I went to your I can't remember the name of the workshop, Radical Self-Acceptance.
Yes.
And I really would have liked to talk to you.
The one in Seattle?
No, in San Francisco.
Oh, in San Francisco, uh-huh.
And there were other people there that even though I used the fact that the monastery is silent to make an excuse for me not to talk to people.
Yes. Yeah, right. It's not that I am uncomfortable in social settings. I'm going to observe the privileged environment of the monastery,
right.
Which is, you know, that's really a fine thing to do, right? That's why we set up events like that, to be comfortable for people not to be social. You know, a person can come into a workshop, they can do the whole workshop. You know, there are exercises where you interact with people, but it's laid out very specifically. So now you talk about this. So it's not like you have to chat. It's not like you have to come up with something to talk about. But in the rest of the environment, if you don't, if you're not comfortable talking with other people, you don't want to do that, you don't have to do that. So that's a good thing.
It is a good thing.
Yeah. So then the next time, though, you might decide that, well, Sherry doesn't seem to be observing that silence, so I can talk to her.
Yeah, I mean,
come up and say hello.
Yeah, I mean, even to raise my hand and reply to you, I didn't do any of that. I had stuff to say, but I didn't do it, you know.
Yeah.
And then of course, it's a double whammy because then I hear the voices saying, "Well, you, geez,
should have said
wrong
something."
With you?
Yeah. So. First, the voice is like, don't say anything, don't say anything, don't say anything, don't say anything. And then when you don't say anything, why didn't you say something? You should have said something.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that's the kind of thing that we do awareness practice to catch on to, which is why it's, you know, there's a good argument for doing more stuff, because then you watch what happens. So then the next time you decide, you know, you make a game out of it. Okay, this time I'm going to say at least one thing in the morning and one thing in the afternoon. And then you just watch what the voices do with that. And then the next time you say, you know, I'm not going to say anything before lunch. And then you watch what the voices do. Okay?
It doesn't matter what it is, huh?
Huh?
It doesn't matter whether it's saying anything or not saying anything. It's
right.
It's the same chatter.
Yeah. So it's you taking the offensive, right? Instead of people live in a defensive position to the voices of conditioning. You know, just hoping, okay, if I just hide out, if I just do what they tell me, then maybe I won't get in trouble, maybe it won't be awful, maybe I won't have to feel bad, maybe I won't be. But it doesn't work because the voices are such bullies. So, you know, you just have to take charge of the situation. Okay, this is what I'm going to do this time. And I'm going to do it just to watch what conditioning says and does. And just that shift will change your life. It puts you in the driver's seat. You know, you're no longer just shaking over there hoping that you can skate by without anything too awful happening. You know, you get up there and say, hey, this is my car. I'm driving. Then they're in the back seat, you know, and they are back seat drivers, but that's okay. We know who's at the wheel.
Yeah. It's one thing to know it, and that's the beginning.
Yeah, exactly. And we can do it with anything. We can make everything that we do in life an opportunity for awareness. So I'm going to work tomorrow, and this is what I'm going to attend to. I'm going to see how often the voices beat me up over X. You know, today I'm going to focus on how many times and it's always I'm going to watch conditioned mind in this way. Today I'm going to watch conditioning in this way. Hey, this week I'm going to focus on what conditioning does under these circumstances. And it's that, you get the sense that it's that shift. You know, I'm now watching you. You're no longer following me around and poking at me and nagging me and beating me up about stuff. I'm watching you now.
Yeah, very good. Thank you.
Yeah, it's huge.
Good idea.
Yeah. And then you'll let us know, right?
I will.
And then we'll have something to talk about next time.
I will.
All right. Very good.
Goodbye.
Thanks. Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Isha. You are listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. We're going to break now, and we'll be back with you in a couple of minutes. In the next segment of Open Air, we'll be continuing our conversation on conscious compassionate awareness
and taking your calls. So keep it tuned here to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Welcome back. You are listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Sherry, the phones are starting to light up now. I'd like to welcome Bob from San Francisco. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hello, Bob.
Sherry, Michael.
Hi.
Let's see. You know, the reason I'm calling today is to shouldn't use that word, but. Funny, is that the power of not using the word but in my speech. And especially I've been seeing it a lot in my role as a parent and seeing how that whenever I can substitute the word and for the word but, that it doesn't deny my son's experience.
Yes.
So he's going through a particular transition right now, starting kindergarten.
Ooh.
And it's been a big transition for him.
That's big.
Yeah. And didn't know anyone there. And it's just all new. And I find that talking about it with him and helping him in this transition, that I can't imagine what the projection would be for what his feeling would be if I was always saying but I have to go to work, but you have to go to school, but that's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that it seems like such a kindness to both of us to use the word and.
Yes. And it's true, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
It's more real.
Right.
Yeah. often in workshops, and usually I will stop people and draw a great deal of attention to it. I'd be talking along with something, you know, passionate plea for conscious, compassionate awareness, and somebody raises their hand and says, "But," and I mean, it's not a matter of semantics.
Right.
It is a completely different reality to live in, to raise the hand and say, and,
right.
And what also goes with that.
Right.
Yeah.
And so much of it for me seems to be that it's about that whoever I'm in conversation with, that whatever experience they're having, is there, I'm allowing that to be.
Yes.
I'm not trying to, like, bring them over to my way of seeing things or, you know, it just creates up that whole sense of the other. You know, you're outside. I'm not part of your world. That's your experience.
That's your experience. I'm over here on my side of the butt.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, it just really just draws that line between people, it seems.
Yeah. Yeah. So with your son, to say, whatever it is, what is his experience? Is it scary? Is it hard? Is it?
Yeah, it's scary. It's hard. He might say, "I need you to stay longer here at school this morning. I don't know what to do. This is hard. I don't have any friends." Things like that.
Uh huh.
And I find that you know, long term, I have no idea what, or even short term, I have no idea what the effect on him. But it seems like it's a kindness to reflect back to him what his experience is.
Yeah.
And then here's my experience.
Right.
Here's where I am.
Yes. Yes, that's all true. And I get it that's true.
Yeah.
And I need to go, and you need to stay here at school.
Right. And it's difficult for you.
And it's difficult, and it's
right.
Scary.
Right.
And you don't know anybody yet.
Right.
Yep. And it's really hard.
Right.
And all of those things are true.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It just feels so much better to go from an inclusive place to a separating place.
Yeah, yeah. I run into that a lot with writing.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's what feels so to me, And then there's the right way to write.
Uh-huh.
And the right way to write is you need to put a but in that sentence right there.
Uh-huh.
And I don't want to because but is not what I mean.
Right. Right.
So it is important, isn't it, to look and see. Do I mean that? Am I really saying but I don't want to? You know, I know what you're saying. And I am going to invalidate that, and I don't care, because this is what I'm going to do.
Right.
Or is it all equally so and true?
Right.
If so, then and is the right word for the job.
Right. And, you know, my experience has been that in my relationship with my son, that it just plain requires more work to take this path. Because but basically says, that's it, I'm done.
Yeah.
You know, you deal with it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's more work to sit there and kind of like talk it out.
Mm.
Say, yes, here are your feelings. Tell me what they are. Okay, I hear what they are. Okay, and here's what's going on for me.
Yes. Yes, and here with a child, especially a child his age, and here's the larger perspective as I see it.
Right.
Yeah. You know, there's a part of me who would say to you, you don't want to do it? Okay, you don't have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not really my choice.
Right.
That's and actually, I don't have the authority to do that.
Right.
There are rules and there are laws and all of those kinds of things that I need to respond to.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And for me, it's somebody just acknowledging that all that's going on for him, you know, at the same time that I'm, you know, that I'm being compassionate to myself and all, because,
yes,
you know, I just, you know, a psychologist once told me, it's like, you know, when your child is four, you'll probably have the feelings you had when you were four.
Yes.
And I found that's been pretty true.
Yes.
And so it's like, you know, when he says, you know, before this whole kindergarten thing happened, you know, it's, you know, I'm not going to kindergarten unless so-and-so goes with me. And it's like, I hear that, and I have absolutely no control over it.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. And I would...
And how hard that's got to be for him.
Yeah, and I would guess that there's another piece of it that goes on, which I think is a little bit of what you might have been alluding to a bit ago, that not only does it bring up how you were at four and the things that you felt, but it also brings up the way you were parented.
I'm sorry, I missed that last part.
Hmm?
You cut out for a second. I lost that last part.
It also brings up how you were parented.
Sure.
At four.
Mm-hmm.
So we get in that terrible position of, yes, I really know how you feel, and at the same time, it evokes the you know, the mother, the father,
right,
whoever it was at that point, how they were with me,
mm-hmm,
when I felt that way.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You know that one?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And it's, and sort of like a related thing, it's just, you know, it's like I'm starting to see, I had an experience last week of my son saying something back to me that only could have come from me.
Ooh.
And it's like,
oh, isn't
okay,
that a rough moment?
I'm doing a good job.
Yeah.
There's just no escaping it.
Yeah. In my family, I think that would, the expression that would cover that is, your chicken's coming home to roost. Yeah. Yeah. It's fun. And it demands a great deal of conscious awareness, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Which to me is the best part.
Yeah.
I think when parents are really unhappy being parents, it's because they haven't discovered that.
Uh-huh. Great.
All right. Thank you, Bob.
Thanks, Michael.
Thank you, Bob.
Hi.
Thanks for joining us. We've reached the end of our hour, Sherry.
I see. I hear that.
I hear it, too. Thank you for joining us, and let's do it again next week.
Let's do it again next week.
All right.
Thanks, Michael.
Thank you.
Good night.